Welcome to the Reclamation Project. I'm your host, Julianne Vaccaro, Women's Transformation Coach. Get ready to reclaim your power in every area of your life, on every level of who you are, so you can live out your purpose with total embodiment. By listening to the Reclamation Project, you'll walk away having done deep dives into your mindset, body image, nutrition, pleasure, and spirituality. The Reclamation Project is your favorite place to uncover the blocks holding you back from living the life of your dreams. It's your roadmap to stepping into the most authentic, free, fully expressed you in a body you love. Anything is possible, it's all available, and it's already yours. By tuning in, you'll be on the fast track back to self and into your personal power so you can live an aligned, radiant, abundant life. Get ready, because your reclamation starts right now. An incredible guest here on the podcast today. We have Usha Anandi. She is the founder of Woman Wellness. So womb in wellness, women, all about women awakening. And I was so excited to have her on the show because I feel like I've just started to dip my toes into all of the things that I do now. Sexuality, somatics, womb awakening, femininity. Like, I've been in this space for the last, maybe like 2 years, but it feels like it's never ending. And so I was so excited to bring her on the podcast because she's been studying this for so long. And like I said, it's a never ending process and journey. And so womb awakening, I feel, has a little bit of a different flavor. I feel like it's all similar, like sacred sexuality, awakening your divine feminine, womb wisdom, but womb wisdom has a different feel. I teach this in Awaken Your Divine Feminine as well. And so we have a whole module and week about our moon cycles and learning about the womb. And we do meditations and processes that are all about really getting connected. And we'll actually talk a little bit about that here in the podcast with Usha. And it's just so incredibly beautiful. So she'll give you really simple tips on how to connect to your womb space and what it actually means to be living from your womb space. There's so many highlights in here. We talk a lot about death and rebirth, loss and love. And we also talk about courage, what it means to actually live from your womb space. I've been reading and just, like I said, stepping more and more and more into this. And so I'm reading about the cosmic womb and black holes, and it is all about death and rebirth. And so I know this podcast is going to hit you in all of the right spaces and all of the right places. So buckle up, take a notepad maybe, and start implementing these things right away. And please go check out Usha over at wombwellness.com, and you can find all of it down in the show notes. Thank you so much for being a Reclamation Project podcast listener. I cannot even begin to tell you how much it means to me to have you here and be part of this family. I want to acknowledge you for taking the time out of your day to learn, to grow, and to continue to experience life through the messages of this podcast, be it from solo casts to recorded coaching calls or guest episodes. It means the world to me to have you choose this podcast to fill your ears with. If you love the Reclamation Project and all of the content and topics we jam out on, the best way to spread the message and get these conversations out into the world is by leaving us an iTunes or Spotify review. It's probably one of my favorite things to do, checking on my reviews and hearing how this has impacted your life. So I want you to know your words matter, I'm listening, and your support and feedback is so appreciated. Leaving a review can be as simple as an emoji to your in-depth takeaways from any episode. And I know how precious every second of your day is, so I want to give back to my podcast reviewers. And my give back is an exclusive meditation that I created specifically for the RP listener. So this is the only place to get this meditation, so consider it a VIP offer. Do you want to know what the meditation is? Okay, I'll tell you. So it is one of the processes I use in my one-on-one coaching sessions and on the recorded coaching calls you hear on the podcast. Yeah, I know. So this meditation is something you can use whenever you are feeling resistance, a block. If you are noticing an aspect of yourself giving you some pushback or discomfort, you can also use this meditation if you have a goal in mind and you want to leap further into it. You know those times when you avoid an emotion, you bypass it, or you can't get the hell out of it, like you get super stuck in your head? Yeah, this is the meditation for all of those things. It's a somatic-based meditation, meaning you go into your body, and it will help you clear those blocks and integrate the aspects of yourself so that you can have more space to go after your goals. All you have to do is leave the Reclamation Project an iTunes or Spotify review, screenshot it before you press submit, and then send it to info@julianvaquero.com. Again, all you have to do is leave the Reclamation Project an iTunes or Spotify review. Make sure you screenshot the review before you hit submit, because otherwise it'll disappear. And then just send that to info@julianvaquero.com. Thank you so much for being a listener, and I'm so excited to gift you this meditation. Welcome to the Reclamation Project, Usha. So incredibly delighted and honored to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel so honored to have the opportunity to have this conversation with you today.
Okay, so I did a little intro about who you are, but I would love for you to share who is Usha and what do you do? I feel like this is just a perfect fit for everything that we dive into here in the podcast. So excited to have you.
Thank you. I love that question. Who are you? Because it's something I ask myself every day, you know, who am I? And so much of who I am in this moment has been really illustrated and influenced by my own journey with my own body. And when I was a teenager, I went on birth control for about 3 to 4 years. And by the time I was 18, I was having a really intense health problem. So my hair was falling out. I was having acne eruptions everywhere. And I was really just felt like a stranger, pretty numb and disconnected in my own body. And that was all from the pill. And so after I got off of the pill, I went to school for holistic nutrition because my really intention was first to heal myself. And through learning about my own body, and really, I mean, always my inspiration has been to heal myself first, because how can I share anything if I haven't first embodied it? So studying, you know, herbs and plants and food was so inspirational for me, but it wasn't until I met my teacher, Doña Maria Carmen, who's a curandera in the Zapotec lineage in the mountains of Oaxaca in Mexico, that I found this other piece, which was ceremony and ritual, and started to get deeper into my body, realizing that it wasn't just about the food I ate, but it was also how I lived my life and how I was aligned with my own inner truth. So throughout my journey of healing myself, I've become a full spectrum doula, and that's part of my passion, is supporting women or mothers through all stages of being, from conception of new projects to babies and birth and postpartum. There's many different things that I do, but every single place that I've dipped into on my path is really a place that I myself was looking for healing. So it's been very much guided by my own human journey. Yes.
I resonate with that very, very much. Mm-hmm. I feel very similarly in that all of the journeys and the unfoldings of my life has been then poured into my work. So I definitely resonate with that. For those listening that might not know or be familiar with the word doula, what does that actually mean?
Great question. So doula means, actually at the root, it means servant. And I think it's important to know. So a doula is a person who emotionally supports a birthing person throughout their journey, whether that's through conception or pregnancy, birth, postpartum, also through loss. So abortion or miscarriage. There's also death doulas that emotionally support people and their loved ones as people are transitioning out of this world. But it's important to know, like, it's funny, we have doula trainings now, and you know, people are professional doulas, but every woman used to be a doula. This used to be wisdom that we all knew. And so it's funny even calling it a special word, because it used to be just kind of a position that was held sacred in society, that was wisdom that everyone knew. It was widespread. It was common knowledge. So yeah, doula is different than a midwife, and we're not primary care providers, but we are there for emotional, spiritual support for the birthing person and their partner if they're there.
Thank you. Thank you. Why do you think, and just from your perspective, like, what do you feel like got lost in translation? Like, what kind of happened that we've all stepped out of that body wisdom and the knowing of like what it really means to be in our bodies and in our femininity?
Oh, I mean, there's so many influences, but I would say in one word very quickly, patriarchy. You know, the womb, the birth, the vagina, that is all a place of deep power. And it is a source of power for all people, not only birthing people, not only women, but it is a source of power because birth, menstruation, sex, all of these are portals that give us the opportunity to connect to this undeniable source of strength within us. And if you want to control people, if you want to set up a system of money making, whatever it is that you're looking for, go to these parts first: birth, menstruation, sex, and start to control the way that people connect with them. And then you control the society as a whole. Because when we're doubting our own inner experience and we don't trust our bodies or what's arising for us in a physical sense, we can't feel our feelings or we can't trust in what's happening, then we're so easy to control because we're looking outside for answers constantly. And then it's really easy to be swayed. So yeah, I'm pretty much a revolutionary in that I think that coming back to our body, reclaiming birth spaces, reclaiming sexuality is not just important for our own path of embodiment, but it's really revolutionary because someone who is connected to themselves is deeply aligned with their purpose and unable to be swayed or manipulated. So I always say the revolution starts within, and it's really about coming back to our bodies, coming back home.
Thank you. So beautifully said. So for those that are trying to get more in touch with their womb wisdom, I feel like there's so much available and so much to go into. I'm reading Womb Awakening right now. And yeah, I'd love for you to just share, like, what does Womb Awakening mean? What does it mean to be connected to your womb space and to be connected to that power? And how do we do that? It's a lot of questions in one.
Yeah, lots of questions, all very relevant. So I think it's important to just start off with, I feel like a lot of times, you know, going down a spiritual path or awakening the divine feminine, whatever you call it, can be really convoluted. It's like it's sold and it's packaged in a certain way, and it's supposed to look like this and it's supposed to feel like that. So womb awakening feels so different for each person because we all have different relationships with our wombs. We all have different ancestral imprints that we're carrying inside of our bodies. I think the first kind of awakening that happened for me was this realization that perhaps everything I had been taught about my body, everything that I had been taught about my, you know, female organs and the way that they worked and the way that they were supposed to be taken care of, everything that I was taught as to what it meant to be a woman or a womb carrier was basically inaccurate or felt very limiting. So I think the first step of womb awakening is starting to reclaim body sovereignty, which means I am my own innate authority, which means whatever that comes out of me, whether it's a feeling of joy or a feeling of pain or a sense of grief, anger, loss, that is something that I am able to harness and hone, and that is something that I am allowing to come forth. So What I mean by that in its clearest form is a lot of times womb awakening is kind of sold as this like really delicious, yummy, like amazingly sparkly path. And it's not always that. I guess it is, but also, you know, our wombs hold the cycles of life and death. If you're someone listening who menstruates every single month, your body goes through a cycle of life and loss. Life and death. And so it's not always this like love and light path that is really deeply delicious. Like it's also incredibly human in its messiness and its dirtiness and its pain that it brings you into. So womb awakening means facing the deepest parts of yourself that you have neglected, that you have not tended to in so long. And oftentimes when we come into our wombs, we're doing that work not only for ourselves, but we're doing that for our mothers because they didn't get the chance to. We're doing that for our grandmothers who lived in a different time. You know, we're tapping in to all of our maternal ancestors and we're doing that work for them. And that looks really different for each person. But the deeper our ability to hold ourselves in the discomfort, in the grief, in the pain, and whatever it is that arises, the bigger well we carve for this feeling of embodiment, empowerment, yumminess, sensuality, aliveness. So womb awakening is the ability to experience the full spectrum of aliveness.
Yes, so much yes. Yeah, I think that's such a beautiful point. And I'm so grateful that you brought light to that because I think we do. I think this process is, like you said, all of the yumminess and the juiciness and orgasms and epic sex and like deep love and that's all there and it's part of it and it lives, but it's also like there's beauty and there's pleasure in the pain and in the grief and in the sadness. And I think that we can forget that we have access to it in those moments too. And that everything is a celebration. Mm-hmm. Like we have the ability to celebrate all of this. Like that's the purpose in being here is to feel all of these things. Mm-hmm. And our body is our greatest gift to be able to move through and process. And I think that, like you said, the womb space is for life and loss. Mm-hmm. And for rebirth. And every single month we have that opportunity to let go of the things that are not serving us, to do that shadow work and to really shed those layers.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I mean, one of the things that happens when things become popular, like when I first started Womb and Wellness 4 years ago, no one was talking about the womb. And that's part of the reason I started to share my work more online, because I was like, no one's sharing about this. You know, where are the wise women that I know are working with the womb? Where is this education? And now it's become really popular and trendy. And I'm just so interested in teachers and wisdom holders and people who are ready to bow down in humility and show their humanness. Because when we work with the womb, when we work with birth, when we work with miscarriage, abortion, postpartum, loss, it is like our journey as humans and specifically as people with wombs is this constant cycle of living and then dying continuously. And it just seasons us and ferments us and makes us more human. So what I'm really finding in womb work today is like, let's be so real with what it is it means to do this work. Let's be so authentic. And in that way, like, let's get more compassionate for each other with what we're all going through, because this human journey is crazy and the womb just teaches us how to hold ourselves more with more kindness along our way.
Yes. And thank you for giving all of us permission to embrace that side and to be more vulnerable in that. I think that it can be so easy to get lost in the media and in the online space with the enlightenment and the positivity that can come from this work. And yes, that's there, but there's so many other things that come up in the process. Like, I think even for my own journey, the reason and the gift that brought me into this space was from an abortion, from an abusive relationship that I didn't even know was part of my path. Like, I thought I was living in my body. And then from that point, I realized how much was actually being held in that space and how much I didn't know about myself, know about my body, know about being a woman. And it was like, it was such a loss and such a rebirth. And as you said, it continues to happen. Like, there's seasons of it. And I mean, we're constantly reinventing ourselves and who we are.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah, I feel very deeply, you know, when life brings us to our knees, it gives us the perfect opportunity to pray. It's like we're brought down to the depths of our soul and we get this opportunity. Where do we go from here? It's a redirecting and it's really hard. And it can also, when we integrate it and process it, sometimes feel like a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And like you said, I think sometimes it takes that knockdown for the direction to be really provided in a way where maybe we wouldn't have seen, or it would have taken a hell of a lot longer to get to that place.
It's like a catalyst. So fast.
So for those that are really wanting to drop into their womb space, how does one get in touch with that? It's loaded.
So there are, you know, everyone is different and the way that they connect with their womb will be really different, but something really simple that you can start to do if you have a daily movement practice, or, you know, you have a daily practice of being with yourself in whatever way, which might mean you take a walk, or maybe you drink one cup of coffee in the morning and read the paper. Ritual and practice looks different for everyone. So it's not just, you know, yoga or dance that you can do, but one of the ways that you can start to communicate with your womb is by creating and carving out a sacred time to be with yourself. And that just looks like a ritual of your choosing, which can be anything. It might not be sitting down next to crystals or whatever looks good. You know, it's totally unique to you. And then once you have that space, whether it's 5 minutes or 2 hours, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is that you create it and you stick to it, because our body is constantly sending us messages, but most of us are far too busy to even listen. And so when we carve out a space for those messages to come through, it allows our body to know every day, I'm going to listen to you. And that practice is setting the tone for the rest of our day, which is why, you know, usually I recommend that if we're going to do it, we do it in the morning, because it sets our nervous system up for a place of presence for the rest of our day. So when you're doing that practice, whether it's walking, dancing, yoga, cooking, whatever it is, really try to bring awareness into the womb space. And that might look like closing your eyes or just starting to breathe directly into the low belly. And if that feels hard, because for a lot of people, we don't have awareness there, know that that's okay. But you can also bring your right hand to the low belly and just kind of cradle the hand there. And as you do that, you're just sending your breath down into the low belly, trying to loosen up and open some space there. And I like to ask my womb a question every day, which is just, how are you? How are you doing today? And the more and more that we cultivate this practice, the deeper it becomes. So at first, you might think, Usha's crazy. My womb has nothing to say, right? There's a lot of tension in my low belly. Maybe you can't even send the breath there. That's okay. Stay with it. That's why it's a practice. The more and more that you do this, the deeper the lines of communication get with your womb. So what we're doing when we start to connect with any part of our body is we're kind of peeling back the layers whereby most of us live our lives from our head, which I call us talking heads. We're like not anywhere else other than our head. We think with our mind and our mind tells our body what to do. And that's how we live our lives. But when we do womb work, what we're trying to do is give our womb the space. And that's why we create a ritual of 5 minutes to an hour practice, whatever that looks like. But we're giving our womb the space to communicate with our brain, which actually allows us to create a new somatic map of awareness. So maybe you thought your low belly was really tense. Maybe you thought your period was really painful. But then if you actually go into that space, go into the womb and ask, how are you doing? Your womb might communicate with you. Actually, I feel really full of ease today. Actually, I'm feeling spacious, or there's less pain than there used to be. So we're giving our body a chance to speak to our mind, which is creating this really beautiful balance rather than the hierarchy of mind controlling body. With somatic research, we really know, you know, mind and body are one. There is no separation. So this allows for space to open up. And that's just a really like foundational practice that we have to have before we start going deeper into much more womb work. So that's a really easy offering that you can start doing daily. And then as you do that, you'll notice things will come up and your path will just naturally unfold.
And I feel like it doesn't make sense all the time, right? We try to like understand it and rationalize and, well, okay, I'm listening, but it's totally pointing me here and I'm supposed to be going there. And I think that's the difference of living from our body and living from our womb is it doesn't make logical sense. It's an inner knowing. It's a path that is totally covered in trust and just like intuition.
Absolutely. And that's a really great point because a lot of times when we start to sensitize ourselves to our somatic sensations underneath our skin, it's like, okay, I felt tightness or all of a sudden I felt cold. Like, what does that mean? You know, and we want to draw some logical meaning, but it doesn't always have to have meaning. Just us able to feel our bodily sensations already starts the process of healing. Already in a culture that is so numbed out and disconnected, just the ability to feel is already so much.
Yes. And I think that we get lost in the why of it. I know I used to get lost in the why so much, was like, but like, why is this coming up? Or what does this mean? Or like, what's the story behind it? Rather than just being with it and really letting it play out and nurturing it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the more and more that we do womb work, it's like we're greeting an old friend. We're just coming back to the body, coming back to that space, and things start to just organize themselves. We start to realize that when we go into our sensations, when we sit with that tightness or sit with that ease or sit with the pain, whatever it is, that in itself is just the purpose of the practice. And all of a sudden, all of these emotions that we wanted to know, why are they here? Why is this trigger coming up? What is it? When we just sit with the sensation instead of the story that we attach to the sensation, that is the purpose of the practice. To just be with the body and give the body space to process, because that's what the body can do for us. It can help us to process. You know, the body is a friend. It's an ally. And for so many of us, it doesn't feel like that. And so it's like kind of a reclamation of that deep connection with the body, where the body can help us on our path. It doesn't have to hinder us in any way.
Completely. And that's, I mean, that's the point of being here. the point of being alive. We have the ability to feel and be full spectrum. And that means feeling all of it in its full capacity and fullness. So what are some of the deeper womb work for maybe those that are listening that are like, okay, I'm in that space and I'm starting to connect to that. Like, what are those next few steps look like, or what could they look like knowing that they're all different?
I think when we talk about, you know, doing womb work, it's not just about doing ceremony for your womb or creating rituals around the womb. It's like really living your life from your womb space means that your embodiment is bleeding into every single aspect of your life, which starts to look like you living a life specifically more close to the earth. So for me, my womb journey really began to unravel when I was living in the jungle of Costa Rica, and I was living in the Caribbean, and I was not wearing shoes every day, you know, and in the middle of the jungle. And I know not all of us can do that, but for me, being with the earth in such an intimate way, and when I was living in Mexico, same, being in the mountains with my teacher, it's like, we have lost a way of living that is really affecting us on the cellular level. And when I see forests that have been cut down, or I see beaches that are deserted but have trash everywhere because of the amount of plastic in the ocean, I see the way women are disconnected from their bodies. So I think living from the womb in the deepest sense means living a fully integrated life, which means we are holding the preciousness of our humanness, which means we know that this life could leave at any time, that loss can happen in a millisecond, and because of that, we are living fully alive. But it also means that we are doing the work to get as close to the earth as we can. And naturally, when that happens, when you are living your life from your womb, it's like the womb encompasses so many aspects of us. It's not just pleasure. It's not just sensuality. It's not just your period. Your connection to your womb is your ability to flow with life, which means creativity, which means intimate relationships, which means money. When you're really embodied, naturally, you start to emanate a certain energy that is magnetic. And naturally, these teachings are starting to just kind of flow from you, and you'll get people who are inspired to do the same along the way, magnetizing people close to you. So I feel like really deep womb work looks like a total life transformation. It's a shedding of the ways that we have been taught we have to succeed. It's a shedding of the day-to-day colonialist view of success. And it is a return to the ways of the wise woman, which is someone who walks very gently on the earth and tends to herself and all those around her. So I feel like, yeah, at the deepest sense, it's like when we do womb work, we're really risking being changed and we're risking being transformed. And that means like when you start to meditate on your womb and you're getting these messages and you know things have to change, well, then you've got to get the courage to change them. You know, it's like we can't just listen and hear things and then not act on them. So it looks like a deep transformation, not only at the cellular level, but externally as well.
And that's the death and the rebirth.
Exactly.
I love the way that you worded all of that. And also by just nailing it home with, we need to have the courage to actually follow that, right? Like it's not an easy path to walk. And especially when there's not necessarily logic to support it, where we can rationalize, well, I'm doing this because of this. There's just this inner knowing, and there's so much freedom with that.
Absolutely. And when we come into the womb, you know, the womb is our portal to connect with the chaos that created the world. You know, it's the beginningless beginning. It's the original energy of creation. And so creating a practice where we come into that space that is held within our own bodies, a portal, just a little taste of what creates and underlies everything. That is our practice of facing the abyss. It's like, cool, I'm in here. There's so much energy. I'm trying to navigate my way through this portal within myself. It's scary. It's dark. I don't know what's going to come up, but we're holding ourselves in that. And then it gives us the courage to meet that same energy externally. It's like, oh, there's a challenge. It's okay because I've done the work inside of myself. I know what it's like to hold myself in a feeling of discomfort or in uncertainty. And so I can get through this. We're building up that resilience. And we never want to, you know, it's like, that's why I'm so careful about the way I talk about the womb, because I think a lot of people can get into spiritual work thinking it's like, yeah, just do these breathing practices and then your life is going to be so awesome and everything's going to be fine. And it's like, no, shit's going to come up. And hopefully you feel like you're supported with the tools to process that. But, you know, to be a servant of the womb and to be connected means like, you're going to have to make that decision. You ask your body, what do I need to change? You get an answer you don't like. Well, you know, you have to be ready to listen and to act.
Totally. And I think when we don't, the body gets louder, right? Like it gets louder and louder, and because it is our truth and that is what we're here to unfold into and to remember about ourselves and our purpose and what we're here to create. And I know from my own personal journey, my body has always acted up every time I'm in a wrong relationship or in the wrong kind of business structure or just really living from a place of misalignment. Like my body gets loud, and it's been such a beautiful process to come deeper into that space and to be able to listen sooner and to be able to know. But like you said, there's still that courage that needs to happen. And it's not an easy path. And I think it's a challenging one because it is a continual shedding of identity. Like you're continuously rebirthing who you are. And that's not always understood from the outside. And that's something that needs to be understood on the inside.
Absolutely. It's a certain kind of trust that we have to develop in the path. And I think, you know, one of the pieces that a lot of us are missing these days is a supportive community. People who know, like, cool, you're a different version of yourself this year. That's great. I support you. I love you. You know, whereas when we're stuck in systems, living amongst people who too are disconnected and numb and risk averse, you know, afraid of change, it's really hard because, you know, either consciously or unconsciously, we are being held in the identity that we once wore, that human costume that we were once wearing. And so to have a supportive community is a huge part of womb awakening and a journey of embodiment that is so vital. Something that I think has very largely been lost in our colonial Western world.
Yes, 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 yes. I feel like since diving into more of this space, and especially over the last like couple of months, I've noticed how my community has started to slide in that way. And now just being back in another community, I'm like, oh my gosh, this was so the missing piece. Like, and I think, I'm sure we can say it about any world, entrepreneurship, spirituality, but like, I think diving deeper into sexuality, I'm like, fuck, it's so needed because like, there's so many constructs around it. There's so much repression that like, most of us can't have a conversation about sex without there being charge and resistance. And there's so much to be processed around it out there in the world. And so I think Yeah, like I've been encouraging my tribe and my audience of like, find the community that supports your bigness and your fullness and like, and encourages you to follow that and to be in your fullest expression with love, ultimately.
Absolutely. And this is something that we used to have, you know, it's, we live, you know, I'm in Los Angeles right now in the United States, and I haven't lived in the States for 5 years. And one of the things that I'm continuously amazed by when I come back here is just how isolated people are from each other. And, you know, teachers aren't allowed to hug their kids in schools anymore because there's like been instances of abuse. And instead of actually addressing the issue, the underlying cause of repression, we're cutting off all physical contact and we're afraid to touch each other, you know, and especially with what happened with the pandemic, it's like we're afraid of each other. And this isn't something that's new. But what I think is really important to remember is that humans evolved together, not alone, that we are animals and we need touch. We need intimacy. We need each other, not only for emotional health, but for regulation of our nervous systems to release those happy hormones that balance our stress and allow us to live in a fully embodied, alive, and present state. So, you know, so much of what we see in our modern world, I think, is a large, is a symptom of repression, of turning our backs to something that is uncomfortable instead of opening our hearts, facing it, and learning how to communicate about it and move through it together.
It's wild. I mean, when you really look at it, how much it's been flipped. Like you said, the fear of one another is not new. And the illusion of certainty has been alive for so long and like drilled into us that this pandemic has caused so much uncertainty that there's so much chaos happening within ourselves because we don't even know how to move through it when really it's been there all along. Like nothing changed. We're just on lockdown. Like the uncertainty has been there. We're just being faced with it in a really big way globally. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, just came up for me when you were speaking is like the fear of touch. Like there's fear of touch. I know I had it for so long of like, I don't even know how to touch myself, know how to touch another human. And like the fear of that intimacy is so real. It can be so heavy and how it's just completely flipped.
And it's, you know, such a natural protection mechanism. Like when we have been abused physically, sexually, whatever, we are afraid of closeness. And I know for myself, right before I really started getting into somatics, I was raped by someone who I really trusted and loved. And after that, I went through a period of just complete numbness in my vulva, in my vagina. I felt so out of my body, and I had been doing this womb work for years. And I was afraid of touch after that for like a year. And yet I knew that touch was such an important aspect of me coming back to myself. And so one of the things I'm so grateful for is my partner and I share loving touch together. And his touch has really helped me to regain sensation in parts of my body. So it's natural when we go through abuse that our brain, you know, joins touch with trauma. So we have touch and now it's wired with pain. But what we do often is we tend to just say, okay, that entire arena of touch is off limits now. Instead of realizing that there's always the pleasure and pain, there's always two sides of things. And I think as someone who's a survivor of assault, reclaiming touch as something therapeutic and healing, reclaiming touch as something that I own and I get to control who touches me, where do they touch me, how do they touch me, that is a huge part of healing because then I'm not denying myself anything anymore. then I'm not living from that old traumatic imprint. So I think, you know, especially for people who have been hurt by touch in the past, working with healing touch can be such a powerful practice.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us too. I know that in sessions with the sexological body work that I do, you know, there's always these moments in session where you, like we make you say stop multiple times when doing that so that you understand what it feels like to say no and to actually be heard and listened to and for everything to stop and for you to practice that no, like to really feel that, to feel your control in it and your agency. And it was revolutionary for me and for the women that have experienced it. It's just a complete narrative change. And like you said, a regaining of their sovereignty and of their body.
Absolutely. You know, and so many of us, whether it's from an assault or whether it's from a, you know, developmental trauma standpoint, so many of us have tried to set boundaries in the past and maybe they haven't been listened to, whether it's they've been physically violated or we've been emotionally violated by a caregiver who doesn't listen to our emotional boundaries or our energetic boundaries. So that's what our body knows. You know, our body holds that. It knows like, okay, I'm going to speak my boundaries, but I'm never going to get a full completion of that because maybe people aren't going to listen to me anyway. So what I've noticed in my clients is a lot of us just stop saying no. Mm-hmm. Because our bodies learn that if I say no, no one's going to listen. So I'm just going to submit. You know, and so to have someone like you as a sexological body worker who can retrain their physiology to know, no means no. And when I say no, I might actually be listened to and what that feels like. And then we cultivate a feeling state because, you know, we hear this all the time, like say your yes, say your no, reclaim your no. And it's something that I've been working on for so long is reclaiming my no, because so many people didn't listen to me. And so to cultivate a body-based knowing of what that feels like helps us to change our neural pathways and encode that, imprint it into our system, which is so, so powerful.
Totally. And I feel like I had a session before this call, and I think something that we were working with was just like really being with the feelings that were coming up. And I think that we make them wrong and bad so often. And so we're like stuck in this spiral of emotion of like, nothing makes sense. Like, I don't know why I feel it this way. There's judgment attached to all of these things. But I think like, as you're speaking, like all of those times where we've said no, and maybe it hasn't been listened to, or we've had abusive situations and negative experiences. And like you said, developmental trauma, like it's also okay to feel fucking angry towards that. Like, those versions of who you were is still pissed. Mm-hmm. And that anger needs to be released. Like the animal inside of you is still holding that. And to, again, give yourself that space and the permission to be like, I'm fucking mad. And this is maybe old, but like it's coming up to be released and to be able to change that pattern.
Absolutely. You know, and we can look at so many of the gender roles that we hold, and it's like, what is acceptable for women? And oftentimes it's not acceptable for us to show our rage. Sure, cry, be sad. But if you're full of rage, you're a bitch, you know, and we all try to avoid that. And so slowly we silence our aggression, but moving through aggression is actually a healthy way of processing in a nervous system sense what's coming up for us. It's how we move out of a frozen state and into a more fight or flight, or even a full completion of a stress response. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of us who are stuck in that free state because we're afraid to be bitches, it's like, what is a bitch? It is a pregnant wolf mother who is protecting her cubs. When we are angry, we are protecting something that is sacred to us. And for so long I lived in this people-pleasing mode because I was afraid to be angry and to really taste what that rage feels like. You know, that's also what being embodied means. It's like, it's not all love, light, and rainbows and just inner peace. It's like we can be present and balanced and be really fucking angry, and that's okay.
And it's just as pleasurable. Like, I don't go into worry or fear. I go into frustration and anger. And I've learned to love that and to honor that and to give myself the healthy space to express that. And I think that love the whole bitch with like wolf and protecting her cubs. I think that's so important. And I think I just lost my train of thought, but, I think that perhaps when we've had explosions of anger in the past and they've hurt somebody or we've gotten into negative experiences, again, that's trained our body to say, no, you shouldn't do that and you shouldn't go there. And I think what we need to shift and change is the perspective on it to not be fearful of the anger. Like, it's not the anger that's bad. It's the way that we carry it out. And the more that we repress it is what keeps us in that dangerous position. And I had a session with one of my coaches the other day and was talking about relationship and saying like, I get angry and like, I'm not scared of my anger, but I feel like I've had partners that have been scared of that anger. And so in having that conversation, she reflected back to me like, yeah. And there's a difference between like the prince who's scared of the anger and a king who won't tolerate it. Like there's a difference. And like, I feel like with all of that, I've learned that so much of when that anger shows up for me is it is an indicator. It's an indicator just as the anxiety and the fear is, but so much that anger shows up for me, it shows up because I'm frustrated at something that I'm not potentially fulfilling. Like if I'm in a relationship or I'm in a partnership dynamic that isn't really right for me and I know, but maybe I'm not exiting, then I get to anger because I'm really frustrated at what's happening. And then it's in fear. It's scared of by the other person when it's like, there's all of this knowing that's just not being spoken about. And so I just wanted to put words to that because I think that our emotions are always an indicator and it's about really getting to the root of it. And then again, having that courage to move forward with what it's saying.
Absolutely. And, you know, for so many women, you know, we've gone so long denying ourselves the ability to act on our body-based wisdom. It's like we've known, most of us, you know, we're like, how do I listen to my body? How do I know how to live for my truth? Most of us know.
Oh, yeah.
Most of us know what we need to do. We're just too afraid to do it.
100%.
And it's like in this frozen state. So a lot of times, when you start to work with anger and embody healthy aggression, so much comes up because there's been so many years and even generations of women who have been too locked in place to move forward from their place of anger. And I'm going to share with you, you know, the root word of what creates anger means the will to get what you want. And so when we live from an embodied place, and it doesn't mean we're going around angry all the time, but when we learn how to harness that, that's our fire. That's our power. And we need to reclaim it in order to learn how to embody that healthy, innate authority.
I love that. Thank you for that definition. Okay. Where can everybody find you? Where can they be a part of all of your magic and wisdom?
You can find all about what myself and my amazing team at Womb and Wellness do at womanwellness.com/start. And there you can find a free beginner's guide to womb wisdom. So you'll learn more about anatomy, different things like that for those who want to start their journey. And we have online immersions, in-person trainings, all of that stuff on womanwellness.com.
Thank you so much. Don't want this to be over. It was such a pleasure.
I know. Let's just talk for like 5 more hours.
Yes, please. Thank you so much.
I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me on today's episode of The Reclamation Project. If there's anyone you feel would benefit from this conversation, go ahead, share the message so they can reclaim their personal power and know I greatly appreciate it. I know you love this podcast, so go ahead and hit that subscribe button right at the top so you don't miss any future episodes and you stay connected with exclusive content. By leaving the Reclamation Project a 5-star iTunes review, you receive a complimentary 30-minute coaching session with me to have your pressing personal questions answered. Reach out on Instagram to set it up and let me know what you think by sharing this episode on your social platforms. Thank you so, so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one. Thank you.